Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday and it's time for tipping time on the Duff and Quarters podcast. The son of a darkened shearer and the man destined for greatness but held back by very, very, very small hands. Glenn, I'm frightened. I'm now scared to tip.
I am petrified of this round, what it will bring. Was equal leader in the West Tips this time last week, Duff, and then got a nice old three last weekend. So I've come back to the pack, and every game I tip this week, probably including the Derby. I think there's an expectation there that West Coast will win that, but in this year, anything can happen. So every game I picked, my hand was wavering over which team to pick. And hopefully I can, including tonight.
So when we came back from the shutdown, I was number one in the West's pre-game tipping panel.
After one round.
After one round. I'm now number 20. And there's only 24 in the panel. I'm averaging about three a round.
Well, mate, like Adelaide, there's only one way to go and that's up.
No, I can go further down yet, Glenn. Michael Barlow's a fair way behind me, but it would only take one good round from Mickey and he'd be and another bad round from me and he'd be right behind me. So, yeah, it's been a pretty grim time and I'm just trying to establish patterns in form, and of course there aren't any.
No.
You've got to predict who's bringing energy on any given week, and that's very hard to do.
And the difficulty, obviously, with the home venues and teams, you know, it's just very, very difficult. So, you know, all the best to everybody with their tips. And, you know, Duff, 24 hours is a long time in footy in this season. You think about this time yesterday and what's happened since. Just unbelievable, this AFL season. It's just got more moves than a bucket of worm stuff.
So we've got we now have 10 teams in Queensland. The two New South Wales teams are staying put for now.
And I believe the latest figures are good for New South Wales. Only 8 new cases today, which is fantastic news for New South Wales. Well done, New South Wales. Really bad figures today in Victoria, 300 plus. So we wish our best to all Victorians.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a strange new world.
It's a very strange new world. Hopefully New South Wales keeps it under control. Hopefully we don't have to worry too much about getting GWS and Sydney out of there as well. Now, a lot of people are drawing a lot of significance on the number of teams in Queensland right now. To me, it's a smart place for the AFL to put them because I think they're going to want to shift in and out of the Northern Territory.
Yep.
And play games. They've got two AFL venues there. They have the option of using them. They can probably fly in and fly out of Sydney, but maybe not a great idea to have clubs hubbing there.
Yep. But it's a great cautionary move, isn't it?
And they can also fly to Tasmania. And I'm sure that before the end of the season, they'll want to play a few games in Tasmania as well. So all of those things, I think, lead me to believe that it's a good spot to have them. I don't attach a lot of significance to it in terms of where the AFL grand final will be played.
State election there is coming up? I believe so.
Yes.
I believe so. So it's a good time to be raising the stakes and demanding a grand final there, I'd suggest, from the Queensland Premier.
Demanding a grand final. So how hard will she be prepared to go, do you think? Do you think she will put money on the table?
So here's do you think it's all about money or do you think it's about the AFL putting a stake in the ground in their developing states or do you think it's a mixture of both?
I think they've got to be careful. They don't. Look, to me, if I'm the AFL and the Queensland government says, here's the $30 million, here's $30 million, I don't even know what the figure it is.
But you have to take, if they're throwing significant money, you've got to take
it. Exactly. In this climate, with them facing a $600 million line of credit and wanting to limit the extent to which they dip into that line of credit. If there is a significant amount of money, and by a significant amount, I mean an amount in the tens of millions, then that amount has to be accepted, and that's where the grand final's got to go. Provided you can guarantee that state will fill the stadium.
Oh, I think it will for grand final.
Because the last thing we need is a grand final with a half full stadium.
So at the moment, so it's 42 capacity?
It's about 42.
And at the moment their restrictions are 20?
Yeah, I think they're about 50%.
They want to be able to fill it. Look, I don't think there's any question if it's not at the MCG and if it's not at ANZ Stadium, which is 85,000.
Well, it's actually more like for AFL footy, it's more like about 75.
Okay. Then the best stadium in Australia, it's certainly in terms of high tech and more advanced, is Optus Stadium.
Now, well, the best stadium in Australia, period, is Optus Stadium.
Well, it is. Not the biggest stadium, but the best stadium.
Yep.
So if we extrapolate from that, how do we go about winning favour with the AFL? Is it a matter of clearly we need another venue? If we're going to have – so let's strip it back from the AFL grand final. Let's talk about having a hub here with a number of teams.
So
do we bring the Wacker into play?
Well, I talked about this 8 weeks ago. And to me, everyone's asleep at the wheel here and they fail to see the opportunity. It costs $1 million to clear out the dirt at either end of the ground. Now, John Townsend, our former cricket writer, assures me that when it used to be an AFL venue, basically there was seated terraced seating at either end of the ground.
Yep.
He assures me that that terracing is still there.
Yeah.
So basically get the dirt off it, give it a good wash and sweep down.
So that the terracing is still there?
It's still there. The they basically put the dirt over it.
How much did they lose?
So it went from about 161 metres in length, the playing field, to about – I think 150, 149, 150 now.
So they need to gain about 20 metres, give or take.
Yeah, well, they just need to clear that dirt.
Okay. So it's doable at, I would assume, minimum cost to do that, really.
Well, $1 million, like you bring in some earth-moving equipment to get most of the dirt out, and then you bring in a team of blokes with shovels, brooms and wheelbarrows to do the tidy up, and then you put whatever seats you want to put down there. You know, you could get those plastic white seats. And put them down if you want to.
So just, if you've got the two venues, you can have eight clubs here, eight teams here.
I think so. And I think you could play because we will find the accommodation for them. You know, that won't be a problem. You know, there's accommodation in Mandurah that we're not tapping into yet. We've got Joondalup. I think the Vines Resort might be taken up to a large degree by a mining company at the moment, but it may be possible to hub a team there after they've done their two-week quarantine perhaps. That would be a good spot.
Obviously, there's a big precinct, lots of hotel rooms on the Burswood Peninsula.
It's not a small city, Perth.
Mm.
Yeah, even like if you want to go a bit further south, you know, Bunbury has a hotel, a four-star hotel, I think it is, the Forest Hotel.
Pretty similar journey from St Kilda took from Noosa to the Gold Coast.
Exactly, it's about a two-hour trip. Yeah, and Bunbury has training facilities and that sort of thing. It has a rec centre, which is I'm sure they could an AFL team could set up there.
Yep.
There are ways of doing this in WA if people see the opportunity instead of the we can't. Oh, there's a reason why we couldn't do that. Now I think the Wacker was probably basically saying, well, we're not going to do it. If someone else does it, we'll allow them to do it. This could be two games a weekend for the next 7 weeks for the Wacker. And on top of that, Quarters, it could be the Waffle Final Series and the Waffle Grand Final. So there's another five or six events.
I'll put this to you. The test match scheduled for this year, later this year in Perth, Australia v Afghanistan, incredibly is fixtured for Optus Stadium. It should be.
Well, I'll be very comfortable and they will have no problem social distancing.
So my point is this, what is the Wacker for then? What is it being used for?
Well, the thing is, this is the thing, if you're the Wacker, you need to find uses for your ground to make it relevant. And if you're the state government, you want the WACA to be used so it may attract some federal funding so that possibly we can redevelop as a high-performance centre for our cricket teams and maybe as a high-performance centre for the West Australian Football Commission. So we don't have these mini half-baked facilities all around the place. We have facilities that are highly used and used 12 months of the year and that you can justify the public spending on them.
So it was originally earmarked for the West Australian Football Commission, the WACA, or that was one of the possibilities.
Well, I think it's back on the cards now. I think it's back on the agenda now.
So with all those things in play and not forgetting the most important factor is that there's no spread of COVID in WA.
So far.
So far, fingers crossed.
We did let Troy McCanty in and out of the state.
We did. Yes, we did.
I mean, that I have a real problem with that as far as...
Well, we all do.
As far as credibility, the McGowan government's credibility, the no exceptions credibility.
Given that there are people out there with genuine claims who aren't given the exception. People who have loved ones who are who have passed away or about to pass away and they're not allowed in and out. You know, it's just ridiculous. So I agree with you there.
As far as the grand final goes, let's close off the debate and we'll get on to the one. There's footy tonight at Optus Stadium, you beauty, and there's a derby to play this weekend. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge where the AFL grand final.
Gil McLaughlin mentioned that yesterday. He said we're not that's not a debate we're having at the moment. We just got to get these fixtures underway. I get that, and they've done. Look, we've just heard overnight again. 33 matches, 19 consecutive days starting later this month.
Yeah.
So for you and I, that's manna from heaven. I'm sure there's a few of our partners out there who won't be so delighted about that. There's going to be some very noisy homes in the next little period. But look, they'll get it done. Look, the AFL will, you know, they'll find a way. They will find a way, whether it's in, well, there's going to be games in the Northern Territory, whether it's in, you know, whether it's in Kalgoorlie or on Dirk Hartog Island, Duff, they will find a way. Or New Zealand, which is our colleague Braden Quatermain suggested yesterday, which is not a stupid idea either, really, when you think about it.
No, it's not a stupid idea. There is the Cake Tin, of course, in Wellington is a very good a venue for AFL
there,
footy.
Played games there. So, look, there's a lot happening at the moment. A little bit this morning. Dim has apologised again to the horse.
How many times can you say sorry?
Well, he said sorry this time because Mrs. Hardwick's given him a dressing down, didn't like his behaviour. Gave him a good old dressing down. So he got on the phone to Horse again and said, I'm sorry. We'll give him credit for that.
Did Horse say yes, but it's still out there?
No, I think Horse this time said, apology accepted, let's move on. So, look, it's a good debate to have nevertheless, and let's have more of it because we need it. October 17 is the nominal date for the grand final. Travis Old this morning said, or last night said, that will probably change five or six times.
So why put it out there?
Look, you've got to have a date. Have a date why? And plan around it.
What, have a date you're never going to play on?
Well, they may play on it. You never
That's
know.
The biggest waste of oxygen I've ever heard.
Okay, so that Melbourne Racing Club, not too happy. It clashes with the Caulfield Cup. They've been lobbying for weeks to not have it on that day. But anyway, it's going to clash with something, excuse me. So that's the date they've set. We all expect it to change. We'll just stay tuned for that one.
Good on you, Travis. Mate, we've given you a lot of kudos on this show. You've done an amazing job to keep this season rolling. But seriously, don't waste your time with meaningless statements about when the grand final might be played.
I'm going to give him a bit of credit.
No, stuff him. Look, seriously, he's basically shot himself out of the water by saying it'll probably change five or six times.
Yeah. Oh, well. We'll allow him that flexibility.
You will?
On this one. I will. You're grumpy this morning, Duff.
No, I'm not. I think that's an enormous waste of energy.
Fife out.
Fife out. Not a great day on the injury front for Fremantle, I have to say. So Fife out. Peter Bell has confirmed that Griffin Logue has turf toe and will miss a considerable amount of time.
Oh.
He's confirmed that Hayden Young has had surgery on a syndesmosis ankle injury and will miss a considerable amount of time.
So we won't see Hayden again this year, probably.
I reckon at the very back end.
If we do.
If at all.
Why would you bother? I mean, when I say that with the greatest respect to a kid with a lot of talent, but wouldn't you just let him see the season out and get ready for round one next year, surely?
with that type of injury.
Sean Darcy looking positive for the Derby, but still they have to monitor his symptoms between now and Sunday.
He had concussion symptoms.
Yes.
Not sure if he should be playing, to be quite frank.
Well, 8-day break gives him a chance, I think.
I've had this discussion before. I'm not comfortable, but I'd rather him miss the game. I really do.
Well, if you miss the game, if he misses the game too, you might as well call the game off, because Fremantle, as it stands, will be minus about 9 of their best 22. And West Coast, if the West Coast is saying Luke Shuey looks like he'll play, if Luke Shuey plays,
is that right?
West Coast will have their best 22.
Okay.
So if I'm Freo, get started now, boys. Try and get 170 goals on the board before West Coast turn up on Sunday.
Though, you're right, and I'll be picking West Coast, but they were 37 points down, although St Kilda ain't West Coast.
Correct. And not West Coast at Optus Stadium.
So Fife, the injury, Peter Bell suggests, had nothing to do with the game. It was a injury in a different area that he developed on Tuesday.
So without pointing the finger at individuals at Fremantle, I think just need to say this. When they did their club review in 2008, and this review was basically the review that sparked the most successful period in the club's history. They did list management and they looked across the board at things and they asked themselves the question, how elite are we? We need to ask ourselves that. And they found some areas where they could improve significantly. And then they got into an area where they were very high performance. They had a lot of, not ultimate success, but they had a lot of on-field success. I think they need to ask themselves this question again now. The notion that this is in no way related to Nathan Fyfe's original hamstring injury, well, you can say that if you like, but I reckon if you put the entire West Australian population onto a lie detector and said, do you believe them or you don't believe them, I'm guessing the majority is going to come down against them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even if it's a different injury, it is somehow related because you're favouring that leg. You know, all those things are possible. Now, Peter Bell said Nathan Fyfe could miss a number of weeks, not just this week, but could miss a number of weeks. So that's not good. The fact that he was marooned in the goal square for the second half, that probably points to him not being right. There are too many injuries at Fremantle that become more complicated than they need to be, and they need to fix it. Now, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter this year because at the end of the day, they're still trying to find players and build a list. But they need, at the start of 2021 quarters, they need Alex Pearce on the park. They need Griffin Logue on the park. They need Joel Hamling on the park. They need Nathan Fyfe on the park. They need Jesse Hogan on the park.
They need
Sam Sturt on the park. They need Hayden Young on the park. If you're going to do anything with your season, boys, you need to get this right because there's been too much going wrong with this for too long. And why? I know a lot of them are impact injuries.
Why?
But you need to ask yourself why and you need to start making some improvements.
Good point. Very good point.
Having said that, I think, as I say, when you look at the outs and you look at West Coast ins, I think that it's going to be a very big ask for Fremantle to win the Derby.
So, Duff, 30,000 at Optus Stadium this evening.
Fantastic.
Are you excited?
And take note, AFL. Like, if you're looking for where you should play the AFL Grand Final, this is a game involving two non-West Australian teams, and we're going to have as many people there as we possibly could have, and it's going to be an absolutely putrid weather.
So, ticket sales? Closing in on the mark?
I think they're closing in on sellout.
30,000, or 28.5 as it is.
And it's going to be difficult, if there's any tickets left today, it's going to be difficult to sell them given the weather.
It is, but okay, so West Australians, let's put on a show. Let's put on a show because this is an audition of sorts.
Yep.
And let's show them that we're capable of hosting the grand final.
Yep.
Let's fill the stadium for all of these games. Let's do it. No doubt on Sunday, obviously. So exciting weekend. You know, footy's back. We've got crowds. And the players, I think, will feed off it.
Absolutely.
Because footy has not been the same without crowds. We're in agreement on that. Duff, should we try and pick some winners?
Okay. Geelong versus Collingwood tonight, Optus Stadium. Who are you tipping, Glenn?
Ooh, I'm tipping the Pies. I'm tipping the Pies off. I'm not sure what to gain from
their performance against Hawthorn, because my boys were awful last week.
Yep.
There's a lot to like about both teams. I love the way Geelong are going about it. More direct this year, Geelong. More direct to goal. I mean, that, there is that theory this year with the shorter quarters and the shorter season, particularly the shorter quarters. You get out to a lead, you're hard to catch, unless you're St Kilda. So I think Geelong, a lot to like about them. I just think Collingwood, I just put them a bracket ahead of Geelong at the moment, or a bracket ahead in talent. And I think they're going to really challenge. And to be honest, Duff, it's a, like most of these games, it's a bit of a flip of the coin.
I'm going to go with Geelong. I thought Geelong's last three quarters against Brisbane last week were as good a three quarters of footy as I've seen any team play this year. I think both clubs will love the fact that there's a crowd in watching them. And I think they'll be up and about for the game. So I don't think they'll struggle to bring energy to this scenario.
So they've been training on the North Oval?
So Geelong's been based at Burswood training on the North
coming
Oval.
Coming off the SCG onto Optus Stadium, I'm not sure. This is a transient year, so I'm not sure whether they'll be affected by that. It was odd. I didn't know how they were going to go on the SCG last week. I didn't know how Brisbane was going to go. We know Geelong played very well for three quarters too. Every argument for them, mate. It's really a toss of the coin for me. I'm going with the Pies.
Okay, Geelong for me. Essendon versus the Western Bulldogs.
So the Western Bulldogs, the news there is, after their pretty ordinary performance last week, Luke Beveridge has suggested there'll be at least four players dumped. I think Shacky, Bailey, Dale, Riley West would be very nervous right now. They're the players who are most out of form. And Essendon have been flying. Shields out, but for no reason, well, partly because I am on the bandwagon, partly because I have faith. I like the way Essendon's gone about it. A more defensive side across the board this year, and that's been a criticism of them in recent years. But I'm going to go with the Dogs. I expect them to bounce back. I expect an answer to last week's pretty insipid performance, and for no reason other than I am on the wagon, I tipped them to win the flag preseason. You?
So they had five father-sons last week.
Yeah. I reckon the Collingwood would have been similar too.
Can you name them?
Well, Riley West's one of them.
Yes, he's a son of the West.
We're not calling Shacky one, are we?
No.
Even though he's
father. No, father-sons from...
Yeah, from the Western Bulldogs. Yep. Okay, you tell me the rest.
So Riley West, son of Scott, of course.
Can play too.
Ace Cordy, son of Brian.
Yes.
Mitch Wallace, son of Steve.
Yep.
Libba, son of Libba. Yep. And Lockie Hunter,
yes.
Son of Mark.
Good players too. All good players, the senior players in that group.
Yes.
The fathers, all good players, I should say.
If
your name's Ace, you really want to be able to play, don't you?
You do, yes. If they had twins, they could have a pair of aces.
Exactly.
Which is a good poker hand. All right, I'm going to go for Essendon in this. I think the Bombers just haven't done much wrong this year. They're not anyone's pick at this stage for a premier, because I think people think that there are better teams that will get better as the season goes on, but they're just not doing much wrong.
No, this is a season two. We discussed this entering round two after the break. This is a season that if you get it right, it's one to be won.
Yep.
It will go against the form book.
They're sound defensively.
They are.
Quarters, and that's a credit to Carousella and Rutten. And you know what? It's a credit to John Worsfold that John is able to hand over a significant portion of power while he is still technically the senior coach to get a better outcome for the club.
He's done wonderful things with that football club. When you think about when he arrived, that footy club was on its knees. And it was utterly disgraceful that midway through last year they were talking about him not being able to serve out the last year of his contract. Thankfully he has, and look where they are right now.
So, yes, Essendon for me. Brisbane versus...
It gets no easier, does it?
GWS.
GWS v Brisbane, Giants Stadium, 11:45 a.m. set. It gets no easier. Brisbane, both teams need to respond.
A little disappointing,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very, not a little, very disappointing. And GWS has that ability. They tend to every few weeks put in a shocker. I think Brisbane was just outplayed last week. I'm not sure but I think GWS, we expect more. They went back into their shells last week, GWS, and they'd found fluency. They'd found that dare, dash and run, that aggression, and they went back into their shells. I expect them to come out of their shells again, which is why I'm going to tip them.
I'm going to tip Brisbane, and I'm like you, I'm completely bereft of confidence generally, what, Timmy, and in this game in particular.
You get these right, you catch me this week.
Yay. I reckon Brisbane got a bit of a wake-up call in terms of their hardness around the ball against the Cats. I thought they got pushed around after quarter time, and I think they'll respond. I think it's a pretty honest sort of a group in there. My concern with GWS is that they have plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, or if an opposition team nuts plan A, that there doesn't appear to be a plan B. And the other thing, Quarters, is their midfield is misfiring right now. You know, Coniglio, there was talk about Coniglio being spotting dropped. I mean, that's remarkable.
Yeah, they're not going to drop Coniglio.
But that is remarkable, isn't it? That Stephen Coniglio was being talked about, a player who might be dropped.
Mm. I'll tell you what, drop him, be disgruntled, you can come to Hawthorn. We'll take you.
They've got him. They've got him for 7 years.
Oh, you can play, mate. No, you don't drop him. You can't just drop. You've got to play them back into form. He is a jet. You're right.
So it why are they getting?
Well, it's got to come down to coaching, Duff. Is Leon Cameron the man to take this group forward?
Why are they getting cooked midfield? This is where their guns are.
Yeah.
Josh Kelly, Stephen Coniglio.
They are, absolutely.
Jacob Hopper.
Taranto.
Taranto hasn't come back yet, has he?
No, he's due.
He's due back.
He's key. He's key to them as well.
You know, they've got young Tom Green.
Yeah.
They can throw Toby Green through there. They can throw Lachie Whitfield through there. Mm. I mean, we're not talking about spuds here.
So if we're talking about being beaten up, they need – oh, we're talking about Brisbane, but GWS, they probably need a bit more Toby Green in there, I think.
Yeah.
I think he has a presence that the others feed off, and they all improve when he's in there.
And they also have great rebound from the back, you know. So when Lachie Whitfield obviously, you know, moves through the midfield a bit, but he also goes back a bit. He gives them great rebound. Mm. He Shaw's a very good ball user. Nick Haynes is a great interceptor, which gives them opportunities on the way out. They need to be a bit braver with the ball in their hands.
Well, they were for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then they go back into their shell. Yeah.
So why?
I don't know.
Take the game on, Giants, because when you do – you're nigh on unbeatable.
Your talent shines
just
through.
Just take the game on. I'm picking them.
You're picking them. I'm picking Brisbane.
Okay, Sydney v Gold Coast. So Sydney just completely banged up. Kennedy out now. Heaney out now. No one over 150 centimetres in that team. 75,000 defenders, but no one.
Yes.
No,
as there was a great
line from Damien Hardwick.
There was a great social media post during the week that basically said Isaac Heaney's out for a considerable amount of time, but that's okay. We've still got 74,999 players to pick from.
Gold Coast haven't done much wrong at all. Had tasted defeat last week, but I'm going to pick Gold Coast. I just think it's at the SCG, 2:35 p.m. on Saturday. Sydney's home dunghill. Too many out. Effort only gets you so far. Gold Coast for me.
Gold Coast for me. And Gold Coast have beaten the Swans at the SCG before, so the ground shouldn't hold an enormous amount of territory.
Talk about being banged up. So Saturday night, Metricon, 5:40 p.m, Richmond v North Melbourne. We're talking about being banged up. That is North Melbourne at the moment. And out of form after a pretty bright little patch. But the last 2 weeks they've been horrible. Ben Brown, he's in the worst form I've seen from him in about 3 or 4 seasons.
So, okay, we heard your thoughts on Coniglio. What do they do with Ben Brown? To me, if you've got a trump card like Ben Brown, a 60-goal-a-year forward, which he's proven to be over the last 3 or 4 seasons, and he's not getting a kick and not looking like getting
a kick. Get him amongst it where you can get one.
Well, do you need to think about playing to your strengths a bit more and adopting a different style of play that enables him to get into the game?
Yeah, you do, or you play him much higher, or you give him a run on the ball. I mean, it sounds stupid, but you need to get him in there. You need to get some action. He needs to get his hands on the leather. That's what he needs to do. That's what I would do with him. If he's standing there doing nothing, what's the point? They've got nothing to lose at the moment.
So Richmond are a bit banged up too, and
they weren't
the prettiest team going around last week. So who are you tipping?
They got the job done. I mean, I'm going to pick the Tigers. I think most people will. I think they're the favourites for a reason. They look like they're almost Richmond. They just they have got players out. I mean, I think Julian Edwards not insignificant outs. They're going to be out for a period of time. They're not with the group. So, look, I just have faith in the system and in the squad. I think Richmond.
Yeah, I think Richmond. We shouldn't spend too long on that one, I don't think. No, Port Adelaide versus Carlton at the Gabba.
So, Carlton's win last week, and for the most part of the season, the most impressive thing about Carlton is last week they did it with Cripps doing a shoulder quite early. So they've been reliant on too few over the years, but other players are buying in now. That's what I like about them. I think Doherty was a bit quiet last week too, and he's been a key to them. So Carlton can produce performances like that. What were they, 40? What they win by? It was a good win last week.
Yeah, fantastic win.
But Port Adelaide on top of the ladder, just humming along at the moment. I'm going to pick Port because of their status, because of their form. But this, again, this is a game that Carlton could easily win this game.
Port Adelaide for me, I mean, there's nothing wrong with their form. They had that blip against Brisbane where I think their defence got a bit exposed. Fantastic to see Carlton up and going again. I love the work of Harry McKay as a tall forward.
Mm.
Doherty, he's one of the great stories coming back after two knee recos. Yeah. And to be able to do what they're doing without Charlie Curnow, I think bodes well for them going forward. And you know who's been a great recruit is Jack Martin.
But we knew that.
We knew he was a great player. Well, we thought he was a great player.
Yeah.
He had all the raw materials to be a great player. And he never quite put it together at Gold Coast. Mm. He looked like an unhappy player towards the finish. Clearly the coach was unhappy with him because he was – ended up out of the best 22. And for Jack Martin to be out of any team's best 22 in this.
And particularly the Gold Coast at the time.
Yeah.
At the time. I might find it a bit harder this year because they're going all right. But good to see. And you're right, he has been key to them. I know we've had this debate before, but I think Eddie Betts has given them something as well. I mean, he kicked four last week.
Yeah, there was a couple of Joe the Gooses.
But he's kicking goals. And he adds a bit of adventure. And he adds a bit of excitement to that forward line too, and that's important.
Yeah, I think Eddie well-marked will struggle to have impact on games. But if you have to allocate a good small defender to Eddie Betts, then
someone else breaks free.
Maybe that frees up.
So you're going Port?
Port Adelaide.
Hawthorn v Melbourne at Giants Stadium, 1:35 p.m. Sunday.
So the only reason anyone tips Hawthorn in this game, Quarters, is because they're backing the coach.
Oh, yeah, or their faith in Melbourne isn't 100%. That's the part. I'm picking the Hawks. Thankfully, I see the news overnight. Big boy back in the ruck. Have been very tall and lumbering down there in defence, Hawthorn, and opposition sides have been just poking holes through that defence too easily. The Hawthorn midfield last week against Collingwood, it was awful. In terms of, I just couldn't lay a tackle on Collingwood. So that was really worrying. There are concerns about the Hawks. I see Tom McDonald's out for Melbourne too. He's a decent out for their forward line. I'm going to pick the Hawks. Part of the reason is that backing the coach. Really interesting subplot this week. We heard Jordan Lewis come out and say, is he the man to take them forward? Then we had Luke Hodge come out and say, Jordan, you're very brave. He is the man to take them forward. He said he will he just finds a way to reinvent the group. They do need to go back to the draft, Hawthorn, but I still think they've got some good wins in them this year, and I still expect them to finish the bottom end of that eight. I'm going to pick the Hawks.
I'm going to pick Melbourne. I just think that Tom McDonald is a significant out, but I like the Melbourne forward line with Wiedemann in it.
Mm.
I think he gives them a real lead-up target. They played three good strong quarters without Tommy McDonald last weekend. Obviously, he had the eye injury. And really, it's time for Melbourne to deliver more, you know, because too often Melbourne sits back and goes, oh, enough.
This is a recording though, Duff. How long have we said that?
I know. But
we say it every year.
But maybe in unusual season, in unusual circumstances, it's time. There's too much talent there. We saw some promising signs last week. We saw people like Oliver and, start to realise that there were goals up one end of the ground and you couldn't just run around in circles handballing the ball.
Well, they played on less. After a mark. What they did last week was they actually just lowered the eyes a bit and just thought about where is this footy going rather than just haphazardly move it forward or sideways, which is what they were doing. There was just seemed to be just random. They just seemed to have no plan of attack. But they were better at it last week. but I'm picking the Hawks.
Okay. West Coast versus Fremantle. Fremantle versus West Coast, actually. Fremantle's home game, so
28,500, generally speaking, Freo fans.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be many West Coast fans getting in. I reckon there might have been some West Coast fans in numbers 30 to 40,000 in the seats that had been allocated before the Premier said, no, we're pulling it back to 30.
Yep.
I'm tipping that most of the ones that got tapped on the shoulder and said they couldn't come would have had blue and gold DNA.
I would suggest so too. It's pretty hard not to pick West Coast. I'll be doing that. You say that the feeling is Shuey in. And if that's the case, that'll be their best 22.
Yeah.
Just so many outs at Freo. You really can't mount a case for them. Does Banfield stay in? Do they have a go at Gaff? He's been got at the last few weeks.
I think Banfield will probably stay in, but I think he'll play the pressure forward role.
Yep.
Fremantle just needs to get better at getting their best team on the park.
Yeah.
I mean, they're starting to assemble some talent now, Fremantle, but, you know – there are too many hiccups here. You know, it took them 2 years to get Stephen Hill right. They couldn't get Harley Bennell right, and Melbourne has been able to get him right. All these things, I know a lot of their injuries are impact injuries. The Fife one is just another blot on the copybook for me. You know, if Nathan Fife wasn't right last week, he shouldn't have played. And if he was right, well, there's been an interesting series of events, hasn't there, that he not only has a hamstring strain, but it may keep him out for several weeks, and he finished the game on the ground.
Geez, he almost had a compression stocking over his whole body yesterday from where I saw him at training.
I mean,
much skin exposed.
You know, without pointing the finger at individuals, like Fremantle needs to get better at this. I think West Coast will win win comfortably.
Yeah, okay. So we're saying 4 or 5 goals, which is
I think it could be more than that.
Yeah.
Like I think, you know, we know what happens in derbies. Both teams get up and about. You know, they want to play well against the crosstown rival. So West Coast will get rattling here, I think.
Okay, do we bravely pick a Glendinning Allen medalist?
A Glendinning Allen medalist. I reckon Elliot Yeo's been in pretty ominous form the last couple of weeks. Elliot Yeo would be my tip.
I'm going to go Josh Kennedy. I've got a horrible feeling he's going to have plenty of the footy.
He could kick 70 goals. All right, last game of the round, St Kilda versus Adelaide.
Monday, do we give them any chance given it's back at Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, we do.
I don't.
Because they nearly beat Sydney at Adelaide Oval, don't forget, in round one. So
A long time ago.
Home and away, I think we need to remember, don't forget what home and away is.
Mm.
You know, like you're much better at home than
you are
away.
Is there any crowd there?
I don't know. I don't know what the scenario is in Adelaide at the moment. They don't have much virus.
Sloan's out.
Yeah, well, that'll hurt.
That's like, I'm going to say it's like the Kaplunk stick. It's the one that you pull out and all the marbles fall. I don't reckon there's much left there, mate. I think they're just so banged up and devoid of confidence. I'm going to comfortably pick St Kilda, and I say that after the Saints put in a pretty horrible three quarters last week, which I'm going to put down to the 2.5 hour bus trip.
Yeah, I think the 2.5 hour bus trip, the change of climate, all those factors kicked in for them against Fremantle, and Fremantle's great heart.
What we've seen, put it this way, what we've seen of St Kilda's best this year has been pretty impressive.
Mm.
So I have faith in that regard. I've really not seen much at all from Adelaide, bar an okay performance against Freo.
Yep.
So I'm comfortably picking
St Kilda. And you'd expect St Kilda to be a bit stung by what happened last
week. Well, if you're not, you're going nowhere, because to be 37 points up against a team that's lost two players and has no defence, or has its best defenders out, and to lose that game from that position, I think that's incredible given where we're at this year with 16-minute quarters.
Yep. I agree. All right. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Our favourite time of the week, of course.
Oh, I nearly forgot. Josh.
I didn't.
Josh, how can
I
you
forget?
I'm pleased to give you.
No, it's all right. I'm not upset. Don't worry about it, guys.
It's time for Josh's mailbag.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Bumper week for the mailbag. They just keep coming in. Some very interesting ones this week. Just following up the Fremantle injuries question, Kyle from Perth has said there's been a substantial injury list for Fremantle, particularly round 6 and obviously today with the Nat Fyfe news. There's been a lot of talk on online forums about pointing blame at the S&C department. Can we put this down to just, you know, bad luck for Freo, or is there something that needs to be accounted for?
We've had this discussion. Look, I just think if it goes on for long enough and there are enough, you have to take a long, hard look and ask yourself the question, what are we getting wrong here? Now, a lot of these are impact injuries. They can't do anything about Jesse Hogan's navicula. They can't do anything about Alex Pierce's broken legs. It may be that Joel Hamling rolled an ankle, but there were complications after the rolled ankle.
Well, it's the setbacks in rehab that are most concerning.
So Stephen Hill, you know, has barely played for 2 years. Harley Bennell came to the club, played 2 games in 4 years. And basically, while there were some off-field travails with Harley, that was mostly about their inability to get his calf muscle right. You know, Jesse Hogan now has a calf strain. Nat Fyfe went in off a very short break off a hamstring tear. And now looks like he's going to miss an extended period of time. Some of it is bad luck, but what happens is when there are dodgy rehab techniques going on around the bad luck, then you end up with a monumentally long injury list and then you find it very hard to compete. I think they need to have a long, hard look at this.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Dan from Perth is a bit of a novel one, guys. I've heard, been listening to many, many ideas about increasing scoring for games and change with extra points and trying to get teams to get over 100 points regularly. I've not heard many people mention money as an incentive for clubs to hit the targets. It couldn't be as easy as if you hit 100 points, you get an extra 50 grand for from the AFL. I'm not claiming I have all the answers, but money talks and excuses seem to walk.
What about an extra point for hitting the 100 points?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He's heard that one.
Okay. That's not going to happen. But it's a good – look, thanks for the email. They're not going to throw money at them.
So what about 16 on the field?
16 on the field. I mean, there's a few mechanisms you can use. You know, longer kicks, 16 on the field is one. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on that. I saw a fair bit of footy, 16-a-side footy, when I covered the VFA back in Victoria. It's pretty good comp, but I don't think it's – I want to see more players out there, not less.
Okay.
This is Harley from Wickham. Why not have a best of three grand final series, particularly this year with it being so novel in itself? Game one, Brisbane. Game two, Perth. Game three, Adelaide, if required. Mm. This would solve the problem of picking a grand final destination and we'd be able to capitalise on extra ticket sales, particularly when we need it most.
No, it's a one game thing.
Okay.
Grand final.
I don't mind the series.
Yeah, I don't like it.
This is Alistair Cooper from Perth. I think this is a prime opportunity to get behind the COVID health message with the clubs putting their support behind masks. Both the Eagles and Dockers could run a marketing campaign to support your state, support your football team, wear a mask and help protect your football club. They could even put the colours on the mask for the games. Do you think it's time for the AFL to jump behind this incentive?
Thankfully, he didn't say the players. I thought he was going down the path of the players should wear masks. Now, that would be something – I don't think it's a stupid idea. I think it can't hurt to have spectators wearing masks. It cannot hurt, but – yeah, anything to get the message across. I don't think there's a bad idea at the moment.
And the final one, it's Steve from Inglewood, long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to know what you guys thought of the Bradley Hill-Langdon trade so far. Obviously, it's very early to tell, but what have you guys made of Aish and Akers alike?
Well, I like Aish. Mm. We've only seen Akers play one game. Yeah. I saw Akers play a very good game for Fremantle in the preseason. I always thought that it was going to cost – if the numbers being thrown around for Bradley Hill were right, as in $900,000 a year for 5 years, $4.5 million player, and you could get two top 10 draft picks for him, you do that trade. You do that trade every day of the week. Brad Hill is not a five times $900,000
no,
player.
No. I think interesting, the article I wrote last week on the two Hills, I think they nailed it. The people I spoke to nailed it in that he's a really good – top 5% player. So if your list is in the mode that you think you can challenge, he comes in. A great example is when he was first drafted to Hawthorn and had a really robust midfield, and you had him on a wing and Isaac Smith on the other. Mm. Perfect fit for that side.
Yep.
But he's not – and we saw what happened at Fremantle. He didn't really transform that team because they weren't in that window. I think it's been a good move by St Kilda to introduce him to that team. Hasn't been great the last couple of weeks. But he's shown what his elite running patterns, etc. So I think he'll be a good pickup for them. I think it's a win-win. really. I think Fremantle getting two top-end draft picks is a win-win.
Thanks so much, guys. We had a couple more, but we'll get to them next week.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
We won't forget Josh next week.
We won't forget Josh again.
Already forgiven.
Thanks, mate.
Remember, if you are a fan of the podcast, send us your thoughts. Do you have some big AFL ideas that just keep getting lost on your mates? Or has ISO allowed you to crack a big footy problem? Well, send us the topic you want two of Australia's most experienced and respected footy journalists to discuss. Send us your name, location, and thoughts to me at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. Just make sure you chuck mailbag in the subject. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.